Defensive coach Jerry Gray is joining the Falcons, and today I'll be breaking down the standouts from the first day of Senior Bowl practice with the Falcoholics, Kevin Knight.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, a.k.a. Mr. Drew, a.k.a. Sirius Black, and, of course, the most humble host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Atlanta podcast family. And today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM. If you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your own football franchise, this is definitely the game for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. Our listeners will get a 100% free boost to their franchise when they use the promo code Locked On in all caps in the game store. So guys, I want to thank you for making Locked On Falcons your first listen each and every day. Of course, it's free and available on a variety of podcast platforms, including YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Falcons on YouTube, and you will get the video version of the podcast the night before the audio drops. And make sure you check us out on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV by downloading the Locked On Sports Atlanta app on your Roku and Amazon Fire TV. So guys, today was first day of Senior Bowl practices, and we'll be joined later in the episode by Kevin Knight of the Falcoholic to get his thoughts as well as my thoughts on the first day of practices from both the American and national teams. And we'll talk about some of the trench players that stood out as well as some of the skill position players on both squads. But there was Falcons news today that we should discuss first, and that is that Jerry Gray was hired as an assistant head coach slash defensive coach, and we don't really have quite clarity on what exactly Jerry Gray's role is going to be. I imagine it's kind of a go-between between Arthur Smith and Ryan Nielsen, but I'm sure we'll get some clarity in the coming weeks or months as they put together the rest of this coaching staff. And Jerry Gray was one of many candidates that interviewed for the Falcons' vacant defensive coordinator spot that went to Ryan Nielsen. His contract with the Green Bay Packers had expired, so essentially he was a free agent, and the Falcons were able to lure him there, and he was part of their expansive these coordinator search. And Jerry Gray's notable because he was someone that a lot of people considered to be a potential front runner to be the defensive coordinator due to his past connection with Arthur Smith, where they also were both on the Tennessee coaching staff from 2011-2013, when Jerry Gray served as the defensive coordinator of, believe, of the Mike Munchak Tennessee Titans. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think a lot of people approve of this hiring because I think there was some concerns about Ryan Nielsen's lack of play calling experience, and having someone like Jerry Gray, who's been a defensive coordinator in several stints, is going to help with that. You also have Frank Bush also adding some experience on the staff. And one of the things that Josh Kendall wrote about in one of his pieces on Tuesday at The Athletic was that Frank Bush was not guaranteed to be back. And speaking with Frank Bush during the team's Shrine Bowl practices in Las Vegas this week, but Frank Bush acknowledged that since he was there in Las Vegas as instead of some of those guys that the Falcons did not retain this offseason, it seemed like it was probable that he would be back. Gray most recently was with the Green Bay Packers as their defensive passing game coordinator and defensive backs coach. Prior to that, he spent several years with the Minnesota Vikings under the Mike Zimmer coach teams, coaching the defensive backs there. Gray is most notable for being a former NFL player. He was a Pro Bowl corner for the LA Rams back in the late Williams. You know, every Falcon fan's favorite Saints defensive coordinator, Greg Williams. I've had several stints together. I think one of Gray's first jobs in the NFL as an assistant coach after he retired in the late 90s was with the Titans. Maybe they were still the Houston Oilers at that point in time when Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator there. Then when Greg Williams became the head coach of Buffalo in the early 2000s, Gray became his defensive coordinator there. Then they were together in Washington a couple of years later, and then again overlapping in 2013 in Tennessee with Arthur Smith as well there. And from everything I've read about Jerry Gray, he's a player that or a coach that is respected by players due to having, you know, proved it in the league and played at a high level in the National Football League. And so that's going to be a welcome addition to the Falcons, potentially in the back end where we imagine, you know, if Gray's going to, you know, get his hands on some of these players in the Falcons locker room, it's probably going to be focused on defensive backs where he's focused on primarily. According to Josh Kendall's write-up on The Athletic on Tuesday, Arthur Smith, of course, is going to have final say on all the coaching hires. But he'll accept input from Ryan Nielsen, Jerry Gray, and any other coaches. So the initial speculation that we had on the podcast a couple of days ago when Nielsen was first hired and they wound up moving on from D-line coach Gary Emanuel and outside linebackers coach Ted Mancino and defensive backs coach John Hoke, who I think a lot of people are assuming Gray is essentially replacing, although they have, I believe, Steve Jackson and Nick Perry, also, you know, that are defensive backs coaches that could fill in those shoes in a more permanent role. But it does seem like this is, you know, the Falcons moving on from those coaches was more on the Arthur Smith side of things than necessarily clearing the runway for Ryan Nielsen to bring in his own coaches. And another tidbit that we got from Josh Kendall in that piece was that the Falcons interviewed 12 candidates for defensive coordinator, which, you know, I think we only heard about maybe a half dozen of them, including Gray, Nielsen, Vic Fangio, Brian Flores, and probably a couple other names that I'm blanking on right now. So we'll see more coaching hires as the Falcons do need to add, you know, some guys up front to replace Emanuel and Mancino to help aid in that pass rush that we're all hoping to see this Falcons team revamp and improve this offseason. So we'll get some coaching hires in the coming days or weeks. It seems like the coaching cycle is starting to speed up with a couple of head coaching vacancies being filled on Tuesday, with Houston hiring DeMeco Ryans and Denver hiring Sean Payton. Of course, check out Locked On Texans, Locked On Broncos, and Locked On Saints for the impact of those hires as well. But given that those guys are already on the job and you're going to start to see some of these, they're going to start to assemble their coaching staffs, this is the time where the Falcons, if they want to get sort of their first choices of some of these vacancies, particularly on the guys up front, they'll start to fill those guys hopefully in the coming days and or weeks as those regimes, it's a race against time. But that's it on the Jerry Gray front. We'll continue today's episode with Kevin Knight, breaking down the first day of Senior Bowl practice, get his observations as well as my observations from both squads. But before we get there, guys, I want to tell you about today's sponsor. That is the Ultimate Football GM. You've heard me talk about this mobile game before, and you know, I've told you how much fun it is competing with my fellow Locked On NFL hosts, where Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast won first place in our own little mini league. And now it's your turn to go out there and compete. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM, managing your own franchise, now your dream has come true. With Ultimate Football GM, you can control your team's destiny, hire and fire the right coaches, coordinators, make trades, sign free agents, draft players, and go through all the ups and downs of a NFL season. The game is challenging. It's very realistic. I've had several people in the Locked On Falcons Discord talk about some of those challenges that they run into, talk about how they're kind of now addicted to the game, and it's completely free. And Locked On listeners can get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On. That's Locked, LOCKEDON in all caps in the game store. That's Locked On in all caps. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live from an undisclosed location in Mobile, Alabama. As you can tell, both Kevin and I got some sun. Of course, I'm Aaron Freeman, joined by Kevin Knight of the Falcoholic podcast. Kevin's already getting right for this Tuesday evening out to the schmooze with the various NFL personalities and NFL coaches. But we'll get Kevin's thoughts and pick his brain on some of his observations from day one of Senior Bowl practice, starting with the national team, the early morning practice, and then we'll get to the American team a little bit later. But Kevin, did you have any sort of standouts for you on the national team, and what, you know, particularly what position group were you really focused on?
Yeah, for the first team, the first practice, I was watching the offensive defensive line one-on-ones for the most part. And there were definitely some standouts, some guys that you probably heard both of us talk about. You know, to me, it starts with the guys up front. I know that's what Falcons fans want to hear about. They don't want to hear about the receivers, even though we're probably going to talk about the receivers a little bit. You know, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, I think immediately you could tell sort of who the dominant players are probably going to be. Things can change, of course, but we'll see. But Keanu Benton, the nose tackle from Wisconsin, I think he had a great day. Cody Mock, whatever.
Yeah.
You know. Do you know?
I go Mock.
You go Mock? Okay. I like that better. I like Mock better. It sounds more
formidable. And, you know, since we're mock draft people.
Oh, well, there you go. That fits.
Yeah.
That checks the boxes.
Did you mock Cody Mock?
I have not yet. Okay, but they started him at a tackle, and then they moved him to the inside. And I thought as soon as he started playing guard, he just started winning all the reps. So that was good. Ohio State's DeJuan Jones.
Massive human being.
Exactly as big as you expect. And he just like swallowed people. He was just like, and then the rep was over. So he was really impressive. So those are some of the trench guys I liked. Isaiah Foskey struggled with DeJuan Jones, but other than that, I think he pancaked some other offensive tackle. So that's always nice to see. In terms of other guys, running back Rashawn Johnson from Texas, I thought he was pretty good. I know he's had to play second fiddle to the Falcons' future number 8 overall pick, Bijan Robinson, right? Yes. So, but he looked pretty good in his own right. And I think in terms of the DBs, Daniel Scott had a pick and some other good plays, even though I think he came in smaller than people were expecting, maybe. But good day from Daniel Scott as well. Overall, though, I think the national practice was sort of the quieter of the two when it was all said and done. So
yeah, I think that's fair to say. Anything you're looking forward to in the subsequent days? Any players that you're looking to see what growth they show, or any sort of position groups that you're hoping to see sort of stand out in the coming days?
I mean, I'm going to watch the receivers and DBs from the national team more tomorrow, but it's interesting that it seems like the receiver group for the American team is so much better, that they just sort of stacked all the top receivers there. There are definitely some talented players on this group, but it's not quite the same. So I'm interested to see how they look. The other thing is just like the quarterbacks, particularly on the national team, like Malik Cunningham wasn't out there. I don't know why. Maybe he's still at the Shrine Bowl. I can't remember. So I wonder if it'll liven up a little bit when he gets out there, but the national quarterbacks were kind of disappointing. Jaren Hall didn't have a great day. Jake Haener looks really small. He's like bare. I think he's exactly 6 foot, like 6'0", 0'0". He just looked quite small. And I mean, it's the first day of practice. It's always tough for the quarterbacks, but maybe we're just spoiled from last year with that group. But yeah, so looking to see a little bit more from the passing game tomorrow.
Yeah. Last year, guys, 6 of the 7 top quarterbacks were at the Senior Bowl that were drafted last year, and that probably won't be the case this year, right?
Because Will Levis is a coward.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, who's probably going to be the first Senior Bowl quarterback today? Maybe Max Duggan?
Jaren Hall, maybe? We'll see.
We'll see. But it's not going to be early.
No.
I can tell you. I mean, technically, Hendon Hooker is a Senior Bowl guy, but
he's
not out there practicing. So, yeah, I was focused mainly on the offensive lineman guys. I thought Cody Mock looked really good. I thought it was great to see him, you know, kind of play as well as he did, really getting his first reps at left guard. He's been exclusively a left tackle. And, you know, that's one of the things I hope to see grow over the course of the week as he gets a little bit more comfortable. As Kevin said, DeJuan Jones is just a massive human. 6'8", 375, 36 5/8-inch arms, 89.5-inch wingspan. He is an incredible physical specimen. Like, he carries the 375 as well as any human being I've ever seen carry. This is not Daniel Falele out there looking slow and stiff by any means. This man can move at this height. There's no chance he's going to be an Atlanta Falcons. It's just too big. But I'm very much looking forward to whatever team takes him. And I think he might be, you know, potentially a first round pick for one of these teams picking late in the first round. And so he will be a player that I will definitely keep my eye on in the future. Blake Freeland was another guy that was concerned about making the jump. You know, I think Cody Mock had no problem making the jump in terms of the jumping competition from the FCS. Freeland, I think, struggled. I think watching him a little bit, like, it seemed like he really struggled timing his punches. And so, like, he wasn't able to win a lot of reps, you know, off that initial engagement, which you kind of need to do. And so I'm very curious to see how he progresses over the course of the week if he gets a little bit more comfortable. I know he's been, like, PFF's one of their top graded offensive tackles these last couple of seasons, and I think a lot of that is due to the fact that BYU doesn't really play anybody. So it's just easy for them. I thought Jalen Duncan was another guy that really stood out today. I know he was a guy that a lot of people had as a first-round pick in the summer and then didn't have a great year, and then people were talking about maybe a day-two guy, developmental sort of swing tackle with upside. I thought he handled his reps really, really well from what I could say. And I think, you know, watching his film, not necessarily today, but, you know, he might be up there with, like, Broderick Jones as maybe one of the most athletic tackles in this draft class. So I'm very curious to see what his development, but I was mostly focused on the offensive line. I think probably tomorrow I'll try to watch a little bit of the defensive linemen, and I'll keep an eye on Roshan Johnson, as you know, just for all you guys out there. He's just a taste of Bijan. He's like Bijan light for you, the Texas running back. So I'll be sure to try to give you an update on that on tomorrow's episode. But we'll continue today's episode talking about the American team, some of those standout skill position players that Kevin was discussing a little bit earlier. But before we get there, guys, I want to tell you about our new sponsor here on the Locked On Network, and that is, of course, the number one sports book in America. That is FanDuel, number one podcast network, and the number one sports book linking up. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have a number of ways that make betting on sports fun and easy. You can bet money line, you can bet point spreads, player props, and you can combine your bets for a bigger payout with the same game parlay. And the great thing about FanDuel is, you know, if you're new to it, it's great. First time users, you can, you know, get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you got to do is head on over to FanDuel.com/lockedon. And if you're looking to bet on this year's Super Bowl, the Eagles are currently 1.5-point favorites over the Chiefs. And I'm feeling some type of way about taking the Chiefs a little bit. You know, if they survived the Bengals, you know, I feel like they can survive the Eagles. But we'll see. We'll see if that line moves over the coming days and weeks, guys. But make sure you check it out on FanDuel. Use the app. It's safe. It's secure. It's super easy to use. So don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And everybody wants to eat a little bit healthier this time of year. And if you're like me and you want to eat healthy and not compromise on taste, you got to check out Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. I myself had a Built Bar after the day of practice, sitting out there in the sun, and I needed a little bit of a protein boost to come on here and break it down for you guys. And the great thing about Built Bars is they're covered in 100% real chocolate, which makes them just like a candy bar, but they're healthy for you, and they have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And for years, I've told you to head on over to built.com, and you can still go there to check out the new flavors and get any new sales that they have. But most importantly, you can now find your Built Bar at a local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a 4-bar box of cookies and cream or double chocolate. And if you're at Sam's, you can run in and grab a 13-bar box of brownie batter or churro. Trust me, guys, you will thank me later. So continuing today's episode here with Kevin Knight of the Falcoholic, breaking down the American practice, the afternoon practice, where we saw a lot more SEC guys. Kevin, who were some of the guys that stood out to you?
Yeah, so in this practice, I focused more on the receivers and DBs, but I did have to check in on my son, John Michael Schmitz, who definitely seemed like he had a good day over there. Mm-hmm. Osiris Torrance, I know everyone was talking about him and his performance. But I think this is a little bit of a quieter offensive line group, mm-hmm. as opposed to the other side where they've got some of the flashier names, but still some talent there for sure. In terms of the actual wide receivers and DBs, I mean, Rashee Rice, you can tell why he's the top ranked receiver here. He looks like he's the full package. He absolutely dominated Darrell Luter Jr. on one rep, but of course, you know, Tyson Badgett just airmailed it, so it wasn't a touchdown. Yeah. But
I didn't watch many, but I saw that.
It should have been. It was extremely, like, I think he broke Luter's spirit, and he just was like, I'm done. But that was a good one. I mean, a lot of the receivers honestly look good. I mean, Andre Osivas, the Princeton receiver, everyone was really hyped to see. Certainly looks like he belongs. Good size, looked really fast. not as clean a route runner as Rice. You can tell he still needs some refinement there, but you know, you like the whole package. He had a couple really nice catches, some toe tap stuff.
People were going into this talking about him being this year's Christian Watson.
Yeah.
Did he live up to that?
I mean, well, Watson also was sort of a slow starter. I think Watson really took off on day two last year, so I'm wondering if that's what we're going to get from Yosefus. But the quarterbacks might hold back the entire wide receiver group in terms fair. Of like total hype. But Tank Dell from Houston, you know, I think a lot of people were wondering how impressive he'd be because he's just the type of guy that's just going to roast people one-on-one with his skill set. And he did do that. So I know there's a lot of Tank Dell fans out there. So he was playing well. Other guys, I wasn't super familiar with what was his name? The edge rusher from Iowa State.
Will McDonald.
Yeah, Will McDonald. So I haven't really watched him at all, but he did break up a pass in coverage, and that was nice. And he definitely had some good pressures. So that was impressive. Not someone that I was super familiar with coming in. I know in terms of the corners, Tyreek Stevenson had a good day overall. I really liked Julius Brents, big, long corner.
He stood out. He was 6'3". Yeah.
Yeah, so he was impressive too. So Jalen Redmond on the interior defensive line too. He had a couple sacks. Dylan Horton, the TCU edge rusher, had a sack. So there was definitely some action late in the team sessions in terms of the pass rush as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll admit, guys, I was trying to focus on the trenches, the offensive line, defensive line, but sitting in the sun, we were getting like hour 4-5 of practice when we finally got to the one-on-ones with the American team. And I wasn't locked in. I was just like, I saw some things, but I can't.
Not locked on.
Yeah. You know, I thought I did see good from John Michael Schmitz. I did see some good from Osiris Torrance and Darnell Wright. I did see some good reps from Nick Broker, the Ole Miss guard/tackle. I think he got some work at center as well today, a little bit late. When I watched this film last year, I compared him to like a meaner version of a Wes Schweitzer. So, you know, Falcons legend, Wes Schweitzer. So that's a name to keep an eye on. Wanye Morris was another guy, the offensive tackle from Oklahoma, that I know a couple of people that I was sitting with talked about how he stood out. Matthew Bergeron had like an entourage. There was a whole bunch of people in Bergeron jerseys that showed up to support him.
Yeah, go Cuse. Yeah, let's go Orange. Yeah.
And so he looked pretty solid. Like, I couldn't tell exactly from the angle that I was sitting at. It seemed like he maybe gave up some bull rushes in some of the one-on-ones, but I can't tell quite from the angle. Didn't really see too much of Warren McClendon, the Georgia offensive tackle. He was wearing number 77 in honor of his late teammate, Devin Willock. Didn't notice him standing out too much. Derek Hall of Auburn, the pass rusher, had a couple of nice reps. He's basically got the same body type as Arnold Ebiketie, like 6'3", 250, 34-inch arms. But he's like much more of a power rusher than Ebiketie was. So I'll probably try to key a little bit more on some of the D linemen, especially just because I think the American probably has a little bit better group of D linemen there on tomorrow's episode. But any other observations, Kevin, that you're looking forward to for future practices with this American squad?
The American squad just seems better overall, so I'm just looking forward to the American practice in general, probably. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the wide receiver defensive back battles because those were a lot of fun today. That was probably the best part of practice. There were extensive one-on-one sessions, and then they did some teamwork with those guys too. So yeah, just that'll be fun. And really just hoping that the quarterbacks tighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you can see, you know, oh, this guy beat that guy or whatever. But it's nice to have the flourish of the great catch at the end. And that was just not in play on a lot of these, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, pretty good day one.
Yeah, I didn't watch too many of the wide receiver DB one-on-ones, but the few I did, when the wide receiver beat the DB cleanly, ball never got any, not a catch.
There was like a handful of good passes.
So, you know, I'm sorry to the Mariota fans, but if, you know, if you thought Marcus Mariota was bad, then you guys didn't see nothing today.
Like, it's very familiar.
Yeah, just familiar. You know, take take the, you know, Mariota throwing it 5 feet over Drake London's head. Dial that up. It was a little higher. Yeah. Sometimes it was like 12 feet.
Rashee Rice, like 10 feet, like 10 yards of separation, and the ball just ends in the end zone. Yeah, it was
rough. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. I quoted Jarvis Davis, who I was sitting with during the national practice. He was like, these quarterbacks are terrible. And I think the American practice, they had probably had better quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But they still were less terrible, but they're still pretty terrible. So we'll see if that improves, guys. I'll be back. I don't know if Kevin will be back. We'll see if we can get other people's perspectives. I'm sure, Kevin, you'll be breaking down your thoughts on Falcoholic Live.
Yes.
So let the people know, you know, where they can check out more of your Senior Bowl observations this week.
Yes. Well, they will be on the Falcoholic.com in a written version and also on the Falcoholic Live, which will be, I'm sure, will be recorded before you actually listen to this. But it's going to be there. So there'll be a video version on the YouTube, and then there'll be an audio version on the Falcoholic podcast feed as well. And the written stuff on thefalcoholic.com. And clips coming out on Falcoholic Kevin whenever the hell I feel like. So, yeah.
Yeah, and as you can see from this undisclosed location, you know, we're doing great here down in Mobile. Yes. So, guys, I really appreciate you tuning in for another episode. We'll have more great content here on Locked On Falcons. Please make us your first listen. And for your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast. Get those daily conversations and the biggest stories in sports. And make sure you check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. We'll also be going live each day after practice. You might even see me on one of those episodes at some point this week. So check out Locked On NFL Draft on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Check out Locked On Sports Atlanta, all in the same places. Locked On Hawks, Locked On Braves, Locked On Bulldogs. So all those are all the local shows. So really appreciate it, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with more, you know, national and American football conference. No, team breakdowns. Yeah. Clearly, I've had too much sun. Too much sun.